Our gospel for this day is from St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse, followed by a passage of scripture from Hebrews as well. Both focus on the questions of why church and address the importance of the body of Christ, gathering together in groups in order that we might encourage one another and continue to learn the teachings of God. So listen to these words from Matthew. "Again, I tell you," said Jesus, "that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather together in my name, there I am with them." And again, from Hebrews chapter 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." These words are words for us from God this day. I invite you to please be seated. So as we engage in worship today, we've been asking the question throughout this series, why church? And we've explored different aspects of why church. I'm sure that you, John, have explored aspects of why church in Honduras and El Adante, and we're going to celebrate you in just a little bit. And so as we come together as the worshiping body of Christ, God's people join together in worship, God's church, we continue to ask that question, why church? In particular, the value of gathering together in small groups, which is mentioned over and over in Scripture. As we ponder those things, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you for this day. It's a day that you have made, and you've given us an extra hour to enjoy it. And so we trust, Lord, that we've used that hour well, and that we will truly allow this day to be a day when we use it for your glory and grow closer in relationship with you. And as we ponder the question, why church, help reveal through your word why church is part of your plan for our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible says, in fact, these are Jesus' very own words, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I among them or with them." Perhaps you've heard those words before, and I don't know exactly what they mean to you, but hopefully we'll explore that together when we gather in Jesus' name. The promise of Jesus is always that he is there among us, with us. So I asked some why church questions for you today. Have you ever been tempted to give up on Christianity? Are there times when going to church either becomes simply a meaningless routine or seemingly fails to address the relevant questions in today's world? A world where just this recently Holocaust survivors were gunned down in worship? A world in which just this past week, 5 little children were run over and killed by drivers who failed to stop as they were either getting on, those little children getting on or getting off the school bus? And the questions, the why God questions that must have surrounded those families and those communities in those moments. Perhaps there's been an illness, or maybe there's been a death or a divorce in your family that's caused you to wonder how a God who is supposed to be caring could have let such a thing happen. What do you do when all those church responses seem to come up short, filling the void of those questions that seem to persist and happen in your life, let alone the world in which we live. Just this past week, all of us as pastors got together and we met with our confirmation, our faith walk students, and they had questions for us. It was a ask the pastor whatever you want kind of time, and oh, did they have questions. I wouldn't have minded having any one of you there to substitute for myself. They asked some pretty relevant questions, like, why do we have to be confirmed? What's that really all about? And we talked about that. And they asked questions like, how do you really know the Bible is true? And how can I believe? And they asked all kinds of pointed questions. And it gave us opportunity to address those questions in a large group situation with students and parents, as well as addressing those questions in small group gatherings later on. They've got great questions. We want them to ask those questions. It's how I believe God sharpens our faith. We're all well aware, are we not, that this whole Jewish synagogue mass shooting killing has surfaced many such questions. What has this world come to? It seems to happen way too often in our schools, in our places of worship, even fast food restaurants, in offices. No place seems to be safe anymore. And so every incident, every tragedy, every place that surfaces these kinds of incidents causes us to ask God questions. Questions that are difficult to answer. Or maybe you've watched those smiling folks on TV for whom Christianity seems to guarantee prosperity and happiness, and you've wondered, if I don't give up on it altogether, maybe I should just switch brands. Maybe you've wondered those things. The people to whom the letter of Hebrews was written had these very same questions about their faith. They needed encouragement. They discovered that discipleship was no bed of roses. Instead of bringing peace, joy, and prosperity, it had brought them hardship and hostility. And some of them, it seems, were quite ready to throw in the towel and call it quits. To instill in them a new spirit of courage, the author of Hebrews, in chapter 11, chronicles person after person after person who in times past persevered in the face of great hardship and difficulty. And if you're looking for a great chapter on encouragement, a great chapter to bolster your faith this week, I commend to you Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, if you really want to pull out your Bibles and read it now, I'll give you an excused absence from listening to the rest. But if you should happen to continue to eavesdrop, you'll notice that folks like Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and David and all the prophets faced these kinds of questions, yet they did not quit. Why? Why? Because they believed in God and rested in God's promises. And now, says the author, when you are hard-pressed, think of all these who have gone before you. They are round about you like a cloud, witnesses to God's faithfulness, cheering you on. Have you driven through the fog lately? Not too long ago, I know I was driving to church. It was a very, very foggy day. What if we use that fog as a metaphor, a reminder that God's saints, God's witnesses, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, are surrounding us like a great cloud of witnesses, cheering us on. What if? All Saints Sunday is a time for us to remember those people from the past. The Bible chronicles them well in Hebrews 11 and 12. It reminds us that they faced incredible odds and they persevered. Why? Because God and God's Spirit instilled in them the power to keep on going in the face of great obstacles. And so I commend to you those faithful servants from the past who truly relied on God's strength in the face of very difficult times. All Saints Sunday is a good time to remember. A good time to remember those people that the Bible lifts up for us. And it's also a good time to remember people from your own past, people who have been witnesses to the faith, people who now occupy their heavenly home. All Saints Sunday gives us opportunity to remember those people, to thank God for those people. So on this All Saints Sunday, I'm thanking God for Jim Cole. Jim was a Sunday school teacher of mine. He was a rural mail route carrier, and he was a faithful member of Christ Lutheran Church in Cottonwood, Minnesota, who one of his ministries was taking under his wing boys who had lost their fathers. He was the Boy Scout Scoutmaster, and he taught me how to camp, how to canoe, how to hunt. He taught me all those things that my dad would have otherwise taught me, and he always did it in the spirit of instilling faith, sharing his faith, and how God had gotten him through difficult times. And now Jim is among those, Peter and Jacob and Joseph and David and all the rest, cheering us on. I thank God for Arvid Lund, a farmer in rural Cottonwood, Minnesota, who lost his leg in a farming accident, who faced incredible odds but kept on persevering. Why? Because of his faith. Because God gave him the gumption and the whatever he needed to carry on, and he witnessed to his faith. I remember when it was time for my confirmation and some other events at which Arvid and his wife Marlis were invited. I remember having cake with Arvid and hearing stories of faithfulness from him. He is one of those witnesses. I remember Cal Storley today. Cal Storley, a mentor pastor of mine when I was just a baby pastor, learning the ropes of what it meant to be a pastor and how he mentored me and cared for me and the things I learned from him. He's among that cloud of saints as he occupies his heavenly home. I also remember Pastor Hulbachen and Pastor Shireen and others from my faith community, my Sunday school teachers, long since gone, and yet a cloud of witnesses cheering me on. Who's among your cloud of witnesses? Just this week, I received emails from two members of Good Shepherd who'd lost family members. And in those emails, they talked to me about what an example of faith that person they just lost in their family had been to them, as that person faced incredible hardship in the illnesses they were facing. It was their faith that carried them on. A great cloud of witnesses. I hope you pause today to give God thanks for them. And if among your cloud of witnesses are people who are still on earth, I hope you might take time to thank them and maybe encourage them by letting them know how much their faith has spurred you on. Oh, to be sure, the people that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11 and Hebrews chapter 12 had their share of problems. They did. They were not perfect by any means. Abraham, for example, do you remember the whole story of Abraham? Abraham going down to Egypt, and when he got down there, he thought to himself, you know, my wife Sarah is really good looking. What if Pharaoh, who has this harem of wives, what if he decides he wants to add her to his collection? I think I'll just tell him that she's my sister. And if you've read that story, you know that Pharaoh did take Sarah into his harem, but things went badly for Pharaoh after that happened, and he finally discovered that Sarah was not Abraham's sister, she was his wife. And there was some hard conversations. I wonder if those two had some marriage counseling after they got back together again. That was a difficult situation. Abraham, the father of faith, displayed some faithless moments. Yet, God got him through incredibly difficult times and kept his faith and bolstered his faith strong when he trusted in God and not his own wits. Then there was Moses, who in a heat of rage took the life of an Egyptian. He considered it righteous anger, but God did not approve. Moses had to run for his life. Finally, in his exile, God called him back to be the leader of the people of Israel, leading them out of slavery. But it wasn't because of Moses' greatness. It was because of God's greatness in a frail and fragile servant like Moses that exemplified the greatness of God, because Moses had frailties. It was God who enabled him to be the great leader he was. The stories go on and on. David and Jacob, Jacob, that conniving rascal, he finessed his brother, his twin brother, out of his brother's legal inheritance. What a conniver. Yet God brought him back and used him, forgave him in the midst of all that shenanigans. They were far from perfect. They were real people with all their warts and imperfections, yet God used them. Real people like you and me. Real sinners like you and me. Real saints like you and me. Because a saint is God's forgiven sinner. And God has promised us that he, when we come and confess, will forgive us our sins and enable us to be the people he calls us to be. How was it that they continued on? It's because they kept the faith and the faith kept them. Yes, All Saints Sunday is a great day to remember the biblical saints and the saints that God has brought into our lives. We celebrate all of these folks on All Saints Sunday, even as we celebrate God's desire and promise to transform us. Yes, each and every one of us into God's saints, God's forgiven sinners, not by what we do or have done or are going to do, but what God desires to do in and through us. Today is All Saints Sunday. We are both saints and sinners, sinners and saints. You and I are not up against the same kinds of pressures as were those early Christians, although there are many in our world today who fear for their very lives each and every day. In fact, there are people in our world in different countries who are being persecuted, who are being tortured, who are being killed. Why? Because they proclaim the name of Jesus. And we need to pray for them, and we need to find ways to support them in however we can possibly do that. When we witness the constant barrage of political TV ads, and we wonder who in the world is telling the truth, and how do we distinguish fact from fiction, and can Tuesday possibly come fast enough? Be sure to vote and pray, or rather, let's do it this way, pray and then vote. We don't seem to be making any headway against evil in our world, like the constant shootings, the poverty and violence in Chicago and around our nation, and in places like Honduras, where there is a caravan of people who have left so that they could possibly escape some of that stuff. So how do we respond in a world like ours? In moments of discouragement, there is great strength in remembering that we are not alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, countless thousands, maybe even millions who have gone before us. They too had problems, some of them worse problems than we will ever have, but they persevered in the faith. And they remembered that God had promised that he would never leave them or forsake them, and that God would always be with them. So the book of Acts tells us that in the face of intense persecution and suffering, and yes, even death itself, those first believers in Jesus Christ did this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, continuing to meet together. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. on this All Saints Sunday 2018, a day when we receive new members, a day when we ask the question, why church? A day when we emphasize small groups, we lift up this focus by inviting you to explore God.
Why were we put here? I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on Earth?
Let me put it this way, I'd like to think that God is real.
I spent so long under a storm cloud.
In a word, what are you looking for in life?
What is my life supposed to look like? What am I supposed to do with my talents and my gifts? And how am I supposed to be a part of this big, huge world with 7 billion people? Do I have any role to play in that? That's the question people are asking.
And a glance into your eyes is all that I need to climb to my feet.
People have a desire for a sense of wonder. People have a desire for a sense of love. People want to figure out if something's true or not, and who can they trust.
I would say that God put this curiosity in all of our hearts. I don't think it's a bad thing that we look at other options and look down other roads to try to figure out exactly why we're here or what our purpose is in life.
People here don't want to go to Bible study.
It's not that. It's just a good conversation about life.
We can have superficial conversations all day long, but when you're asking about something transcendent and something mysterious, you kind of hear people's longings as well, and their dreams and their desires, and you hear their troubles and their fears. And I think we're more authentically human when we start asking spiritual things.
I think I know what I believe, but I still wonder about a lot. So this is for me as much as it is for you.
We live in a world in which we have questions, and questions are posed to us. We at Good Shepherd desire to be authentic, to address honest faith questions, whether they come from our faith walk confirmation students, from our worshiping community, from our small group families, to each and every individual one among us. And so as we move forward on this All Saints Sunday, we want you to strongly consider joining a small group if you've not already done so, and or leading a small group if you are not already doing so. As we do so, we remind you of the biblical response of those who faced tough questions in their day and age, how they gained perspective and strength from their small groups. The Bible tells us this in Hebrews. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Yes, today is All Saints Sunday and New Members Sunday, a time when we not coincidentally combine the two. The Bible says this, fear the Lord, you his saints. The Bible is speaking to each of us. For those who fear him, and the word fear there is used in the context, those who love him lack nothing. So, on this day, All Saints, New Members Sunday, let us remember the tough questions faced by our faith ancestors. And let us remember that we have a great cloud of witnesses, faithful followers past, cheering us on from their heavenly home, that we might be the witnesses in our day and age that God is calling us to be as we face our tough questions and our tough life situations. That's the answer to the question, why church? Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for a loving, caring church family that is willing to ask and address tough questions. Lord, we see those tough questions as ways to explore God, ways and means of growing in our faith and in relationship to you, ways of bringing us together, whether it's in worship or in small groups or in one-on-one conversations. We pray, Lord, that on this All Saints Sunday, as we remember and give thanks for those who have persevered against difficult situations in the past, that you might truly build us up as the forgiven sinner saints that you desire us to be, so that we can address, face the tough questions of our life and discover our answers in you. In your name we pray.